last week on Sunday to pretty much 8:30 or 9 o'clock last night. So it was a lot of work and a lot of volunteers, a lot of hands, but it was a great success. A lot of people came through, and you know, one of the encouraging things was we saw a lot of new faces come through, and for me personally, I saw a lot of people that I knew and I looked familiar in the community, but I've never really seen out at church before. And this year was really an extra special thing because the school system actually let us advertise it throughout the school system, which was really neat to see people coming and saying, hey, they passed this flyer out in school for Night in Bethlehem, and they came out. So that was a really good encouragement. It's such a great tradition for our community to remind people of why we actually celebrate Christmas. So thanks to all the people that volunteered. It was a really great time. And realistically, they did such a great job, you would never even know it was here. I mean, look at this place. It looks just like church did last Sunday. So we just want to thank all those volunteers. Really appreciate it. And so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that each person that came through this weekend for Night in Bethlehem, that a seed was planted in their heart to see the Savior, Lord, you, Lord, who came to this earth to die on our behalf, to pay for our sins, Lord. We're so thankful for this time of year, for the fact that people will be spiritually searching just because it's this time of year, Lord, asking questions and wondering about your love and your grace and your mercy. So we're just thankful, Lord, that we could be the lights to this corner of the world that you've put us in. I'm just thankful again for everything you've done for us, for just this church and just all the people that come out to this church each Sunday and hear your word and sing praises to your name. So I pray now, Lord, as we get into your word, that it helps us to know you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So into Christmas, we're in the series called World Changer, and it's a series about how really Jesus changed the world. And Jesus calls us not only to be to live in view of him, but he also calls us to be a light to this world. Jesus was the light to the world when he came to this world, and he calls us to be a light to our small corner of the world. So the whole basis of this series is looking at five traits of Jesus that really made him a world changer, and then us developing these traits so we could change the small corner of the world that we live in. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus's humility. Last week, we talked about Jesus's commitment. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus's compassion, and it's a trait that we need to learn and put into practice in our lives. So compassion, by definition, is this: sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. Sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings and misfortunes of others. But interestingly enough, if you break down the word compassion, co means with. Passion, some of you heard the passion of Christ, means suffering. So compassion means with suffering. With suffering, going to be with people that are suffering. So having compassion actually means being with others while they suffer. That's an easy thing to do, right? Everybody sign up for that? That's an easy thing to do. Oh, I love to run towards people that are suffering and share in their suffering with them. Does anybody find that hard? It's a hard thing to do, right? It's a hard, if we're honest with ourselves, it's not easy to actually be with people when they're suffering. Listen to what the author Henry Norwegian said. He said, "Let us not underestimate how hard it is to be compassionate. Compassion is hard because it requires the inner disposition to go with others to a place where they're weak, vulnerable, lonely, and broken. But this is not our spontaneous response to suffering. What we desire most is to do away with suffering by fleeing from it or finding a quick cure for it." Would you agree with that? So basically, when we hear of suffering, the first thing we think is, let me fix it. And if we can't fix it, we think, let me stay away from it. Okay? Either run from it or try to fix it. So our natural tendency is that, to either run from it or try to fix it. And as believers, we need to look at suffering with compassion, meaning we need to be there with people in their suffering. because Jesus had compassion, he actually changed the world. The world became a different place because of Jesus's compassion. And what he's calling you and I to do is to actually change the corner of our world by having compassion on those people around us. So there's three areas in which I believe the scriptures teach that Jesus had compassion towards other people. And he's asking us, will we follow in those three areas? So the first area in which Jesus offered compassion was with physical help. And most of us could probably agree when we think about compassion or showing compassion, we think meeting people's physical needs. And now at Christmas time, that's ramped up, isn't it? We don't want people to have a bad Christmas. We don't want people to have nothing for Christmas. We don't want people not to have family around for Christmas or be alone on Christmas. Every Christmas movie that you turn on always has some kind of tension, right? Some little kid sees a homeless man on the side of the road, feels bad for him, eventually goes and invites the homeless man to their house for Christmas. The parents are like, what's going on here? Why did you invite the homeless man? And then they have Christmas together. The end scene is them all singing Christmas carols, you know, just like what happens every year in your family, right? Everybody's singing Christmas carols around the tree. So we kind of get this, okay? We kind of get this physical need. We know that people are hurting. In Matthew 8:3, Jesus physically healed a leper. He had compassion. He saw this leper, the person with the disease, the outcast of society that nobody wanted to go around. He went out and touched the leper and healed the leper. In Matthew 15:32, I'll read that to you. It says this, then Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. So we see here's two accounts where Jesus offered physical compassion. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. And for you and I, we realize there's many ways that we can assist people and show them that physical compassion. Just right here in our church, I don't know if you realize this, but we have something called the Meals Ministry. And if somebody's in a hard time, maybe financially, maybe just going through a grieving time, and you know, just even cooking dinner is a difficult task for them because they're hurting or something's going on, our Meals Ministry is contacted, and people from the Meals Ministry contact that person and say, hey, can I make you some meals? Can I help you out in this type of way? It's a great way to physically help someone. Around the holidays, we always do different things to help people. Right now, you'll see a pile of gifts in the corner there in the foyer, and we're sponsoring a family. So some of you took tabs, and you went out and bought something because you didn't want these kids to have nothing for Christmas. Outside this area, or like close to our area, we have missions like Jersey Shore Rescue Mission, Atlantic City Rescue Mission, where if you wanted to, you can go and volunteer your time to physically help people that are in need. Now, these are all great tangible ways to show people compassion, and there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus loves when we do that. Jesus helped people physically, so there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus loves when we do those types of things. But as Christians in Lacey Township, one of the things that we've probably realized by now is this. We're not overwhelmed with opportunities like that. Would you agree with that? We're not overwhelmed. And actually, sometimes people come and ask, there's something I want to do, and sometimes I have to rack my brain and call a lot of other people to find things that people could do like this. And part of the reason why is our area is not very urban, and it's not a developing country. So we realize that a lot of the physical needs that we read about, see on TV, are not necessarily options for us all the time. This does not mean we should ignore the outside world, but what I do want to remind us is this. God placed us in our community in Lacey Township for a very specific reason. He moved you here, he got you here, and you're part of a church that needs to meet the needs of the community that your church is in. Now think about this for a second. If every church in every community looked further outside their community to meet a need, like let's say a physical need, for instance, and looked further outside their community, but ignored the community that they were in, how would that look for the church just in this country? If every church looked outside of their community, but not to their community, it would be kind of bizarre, wouldn't it? I mean, we're around people each day of our lives. So the next two areas in which we can show compassion, I believe, are things that we're going to be able to do on a regular basis. On a regular basis, not just around the holidays, not just around a time where there's tragedy, but these are things that you and I are going to be able to do on a regular basis. So the first is this, or it's actually our second thing, that Jesus offered compassion by way of emotional help. By way of emotional help. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7. And in this passage, in Luke chapter 7, you're going to see something that happens here. Jesus does two things. One of them we'll never be able to do, but the other we could do on a regular basis when someone is suffering. We could be with them in their suffering. So in Luke 7, verse 11, it says this. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. Now, think about this picture. This woman lost her only son, and she was a widow, so that means she lost her husband, too. Think about how this woman must have been feeling. I mean, if you've lost anybody in your life, you know the feeling of loss. If you've lost multiple people in your life, you know the feeling of loss. If you've lost multiple people and now you're living alone, you know that feeling, that loneliness. She was obviously a very broken woman at this point. It says this, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bearer, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave to him his mother. Fear seized them all, and they were glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. So there's two things that Jesus really did here. The first and most obvious that we can't repeat is he raised someone from the dead. This is not going to happen, okay? You're not going to be able to do that. That was a miracle that only Jesus is capable of doing. But the second thing, which we are going to be able to do, is he showed up, okay? In this time of pain and suffering of this woman, Jesus showed up to comfort the mother that lost her son. So now the question that we have to ask ourselves is, am I willing to show up for someone in their time of need? Am I willing to have compassion with suffering? Am I willing to show up even though I can't do anything? You might look at a situation that someone's in, whether it's a loss of a loved one, whether it's an illness that's incurable, whether it's a loss of a job. You might look at your life and you might say, I can't do anything to fix this, so therefore, I'm not going to do anything. That's exactly what God doesn't want us to do. He doesn't want us to look at the situation and say, oh, because I can't fix it, I have nothing to do with it. Because God is actually calling his followers to show up for one another. Listen to Galatians 6:2. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So in this verse, what it's saying is we find one of the most important ways believers can show compassion for one another is showing up and bearing their burdens. And it says, the scripture says, then we're fulfilling the law of Christ, which is love. So we must come alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ and bear their burdens, share in their sufferings. Do you know when you do that, what you're saying to that fellow believer is this: your grief is my grief. Your problem is my problem. Your pain is my pain. See, Jesus tells, Paul tells us in Romans 12:15, excuse me, he says, mourn with those who mourn. You know, our call to offer compassion to other people is actually showing up for our fellow believers. I also believe that we as Christians need to offer this type of compassion to the outside world as well, not just to believers. But we need to realize this. The good news for each one of us is we might not have the resources to solve the problems of people's physical needs, whether it be in our community or in the world at large. We might not have those resources, but you are you because God made you the way you are. And he wants you to be you for someone else, to show up and extend compassion to them and be there for them and meet their emotional needs because they need people like you around them. Helen Keller said it this way. She said, the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. You know what? Your presence in someone's life can touch their heart and offer the compassion that they need. You're there with them in suffering. 1 Corinthians 2:3 says it this way, and I was with you in weakness. That's what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth. And I was with you in a time of weakness. This is one of the greatest things. I'll just tell you this. This is one of the greatest things about being involved in this church, in a local church, is you have people around you. You're part of a community of people that are willing to show up. See, you've experienced things. Last week, I talked about this. You have experiences, good and bad, that have happened to you. And they're stored up in your heart. And they're resources to actually help you to meet the needs of others. So now, being involved in a local church, when you hear somebody suffering in a way that you've suffered before, when you hear someone hurting in a way that maybe you can be there for them, you hear about that, God is actually calling you to come alongside that person and use that experience and the resources that you have inside your heart to actually help them, to show compassion, to be with them in suffering. Do you know oftentimes that people just need to know that they have some emotional support from other people? Did you know this is the reason why people are drawn to social media? I don't know if you realize this, but this is the reason why most of you are on social media and most people in this world are on social media now. And here's the reason why. They want to put out what's going on in their life, and they want people to support them and comment on it. They want to know that they're part of a group of people that actually care. And here's what I will tell you. Social media can be utilized in that way, but it's an imposter when it comes to true fellowship and truly bearing one another's burdens. It's just a vehicle. It's just a vehicle. It can be used, but it's an imposter. If you think that that's your community and that's your life, that's not the truth. Your church family is your community. People that will be with you and bear your burdens with you. But you know what? As I thought about this and as I prayed about this, if we're realistic, we know this, that non-believers can have compassion on people's physical needs and their emotional needs. You realize that? Non-believers can do that. They can meet people's physical needs. They can meet people's emotional needs. But the next area, and the last area that we're going to talk about, Jesus actually specializes in this area. And the church should as well when it comes to compassion. And it's spiritual help. Spiritual help. See, non-believers can help people physically. Non-believers can support people emotionally. But non-believers can't help people spiritually. See, the place that you and I can shine the most is having compassion on people's spiritual needs. I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 9. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Says this, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. So we see this picture, Jesus is going out, healing diseases, healing the afflictions, emotional problems, proclaiming the gospel. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So seeing them, he had compassion on them. Harassed and helpless. Hopeless, really. Spiritually hopeless. Verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So there's a lot going on here, right? The first thing is this. Jesus is going around doing these things, but then he sees the people, has compassion on them, and says this. They're like sheep without a shepherd. So they're like a group without a leader. Okay, they have no guidance. Sheep need a shepherd to guide them. So now we have to back up and say, how did Jesus, who is known in the scriptures as the good shepherd, have compassion on our spiritual needs? Well, the first way is the obvious way that maybe you and I know, but not the obvious way that this world, this community around us knows. And that's that Jesus came to die for all mankind. Jesus came to die for all mankind because every single person that you and I meet has the same problem. And that problem is we are all sinners. And because of our sin, we deserve eternal separation from God. But Jesus was willing to have compassion with suffering, came down, suffered among us and suffered for us and died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. The scriptures tell us this, all who believe will have eternal life. Our community, Lacey Township and the surrounding area, they need to hear that message. The beautiful thing is we're set in this time, 2 weeks to the day, to Christmas Day. Do you know what our culture has done for us around Christmas time? They've given us a nice platter to serve up Jesus's message, haven't they? Because even though you'll go into like the shopping centers and they don't say Merry Christmas anymore, they have to say Happy Holidays. And you know, people are trying to take Christ out of Christmas. That doesn't work, right? When you drive around your community and you see lights, you're reminded as a believer that Jesus is the light to this dark world. And that's why we put lights on our house. You're reminded of all those things. And we have this platter to serve up the most beautiful message and the best news that anyone could ever hear and have compassion on their spiritual emptiness. See, when Jesus saw those people, he saw that they were harassed and hopeless. But he said, pray for more workers, laborers to go out and give that compassion, that spiritual compassion to other people. See, what Jesus has done for us is he's come and he's had compassion on our greatest need. And his call is for us to go and tell other people about that. Do you know what? As Christians, the compassion that he offers us is he leads us into a life following him. You know, we have the scriptures. It's God's gift to us to follow after him. And you know what a lot of non-believers say about the scriptures, right? It's long, I don't understand it, and it's a book full of do's and don'ts. Have you heard people say that? That's why I don't do that. It's a book full of do's and don'ts. But as a believer, we know that that's not the truth about the scriptures. The truth about the scriptures is it's God's prescription for us to live a life following after him and to be fulfilled. So when we as believers have something the world cannot offer. The world can extend compassion to people's physical and emotional needs, but they cannot extend compassion to people's spiritual needs because they don't know the truth. We, through Jesus Christ, have the truth. And our community, our little world, the circle that you live in, needs you to lead them to the Good Shepherd. You know, in 2 weeks, we'll celebrate Christmas. And you know what the cool thing about Christmas is for me as a pastor is people are more willing to come to church than they are throughout most of the year. It's Christmas and Easter, right? Remember, people say those CEO Christians, like Christmas and Easter only. You know what I mean? Have you heard this? Okay, maybe you haven't. People are more willing. And I'll tell you what, on this year, Christmas Day is on a Sunday. So we get to do an extra service, which is great. And you know what? We have these little cards made up, and I'm not promoting these in order to fill the church because I'll be the first to tell you that a packed church can be very uncomfortable. You notice that? When you come on Christmas Eve and it's packed and it's hot, and then we give everybody candles, which is a brilliant idea when it's packed and hot, okay? But we do that. Why do we do that? Because people are willing to come out to church on Christmas or Christmas Eve. So we have these little invite cards. We're having services 2, 4, and 11 p.m. on Christmas Eve and 11:30 a.m. one service on Christmas Day. But here's the thing. We do that because we know that we have this opportunity to reach into our community and tell them the truth about Jesus. You know what? Imagine for 1 minute if we as a church just tried to meet people's physical and emotional needs but forgot about the spiritual. Forgot about the spiritual. Imagine for a minute that we did that. Who would help them with their spiritual needs? No one is equipped to. If the Christians don't do it, they're not equipped to meet them with their spiritual needs. And let me just tell you a little secret, too. We'll meet people's physical and emotional needs in order to open their eyes to their spiritual needs. And some people say, well, that's kind of like the bait and switch. It's like, hey, you know what? Put us in jail for telling people how to get to heaven. We're such terrible people, aren't we? Okay? Hey, you know what? I will tell you, any dollar and any cent that goes towards meeting people's physical and emotional needs, the reason why we do that, the reason why we give money towards that or do that, is to help them understand their deep spiritual need. Because truthfully, we have to remember this. A person's physical or emotional needs will pass away. Their spiritual needs are eternal. Think about that. Their spiritual needs are eternal. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. We are literally physically wasting away. Some of you are like, yeah, I look in the mirror every morning and I'm wondering, what happened to that young person? Where'd they go? We're wasting away. Emotionally, we are being worn down, right? Would you agree with that? Physically and emotionally, we are being worn down, wasting away. But spiritually, we're being renewed day by day as Christians. So our job is to have compassion and know that people are spiritually suffering and don't know that. They're trying to hold on to their youth. They're trying to hold on to their emotions. They're trying to hold on to all these different things. But the only thing that's truly going to make a difference, an eternal difference in their life, is meeting their spiritual need. And you know what? When we tell them about the Good Shepherd, about Jesus and what he's done, not only will it make them a new person, they cross from death to life, it will give them spiritual renewal each day of their life. So we can show people compassion through our church, right? By having Jesus-centered, Bible-centered programs that people can learn about the love of Jesus. And you know what? When we meet their spiritual needs, here's what we're doing. In our little corner of the world that God has placed us in, we're being a light because God has placed us here to be that light. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that you've shown us compassion. You've met our